Listener warning. Everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
Wisconsin. It's a podcast that tries to rob banks while we're wearing our ankle bracelets. Guys, can't some beer!
Yeah! Oh!
I appreciate that hyperlocal.
That was a hyperlocal one, but a very good one.
Unbelievable.
They'll be here any minute.
Charms
pick us
on
up.
Them or what?
Yeah. Oh, just terrifying.
Okay. So we have a beer for beer court tonight. Let's start
hold
beer
on
court.
A minute. Let me get the beer court logo up.
Oh, we have a logo now.
Logo.
Yeah, way to rush it.
Beer court. All right.
Today's beer has been brought in front of us and by the power vested in me by the state of Wisconsin, I now declare this beer court to order.
So the reason I picked this one tonight, it's our buddies from Lakefront, and we always like Lakefront brews. One we haven't tried from them, it's called Warm Front. Now here's my thing though, they call this a winter seasonal, but it's an extra pale ale. Now normally I would not associate an extra pale ale as a winter seasonal.
Can we acknowledge the name of the beer though?
But no, I see. But from a warm front standpoint, the reason it's warm front because we have a warm front blowing through right now, and the wind is like killing outside.
Yeah, the branding on this is pretty weird. The fact that on the box they say it's a winter seasonal, and it's a vacation from the ordinary weather ale with a bit of citrus and tropical flavor.
Okay, so again, to me, that does not make a winter beer.
Maybe they're just I want a nice coffee stout.
I like my coffee stout.
They pushed the Oktoberfest in like June, so.
No, honestly, God, they did.
They're trying to pretend like, I swear it's going to get warm here sometime, guys. It's only Wisconsin. It's been a pretty good season.
It's actually been a pretty mild.
But we can pretend it's warmer, so we're going to do so.
So we're going to, have some.
So imagine heat wave rolling through.
Well, I'm good with that.
Suck up on the boat.
Yeah, wait a minute. How did you do that?
I'm sorry. I swear this
never
happens. You
only want to taste some grapefruit in here?
I taste a grapefruity.
I don't like pale ales. I'm okay with this beer.
Oh, he gave that one.
Well, no, I'll take that.
No, I like Travis more than I like you.
Oh, that was just me.
That was just me.
Yeah. This is, I mean,
you know, like,
If you're not at all, like, if you hate hops, then stay away from this beer.
I abstain from this beer court.
What's that?
Fantasy Factory. Reminds me a lot of Fantasy Factory.
I don't think so. I think my difference with this is I taste almost grapefruit hints.
Oh, yeah, you're sure. You get
citrus hints
in
it.
Well, it does have citrus.
That's what it's on the bottle.
It's a citrus hop. Well, it's not really
it's
grapefruit
not like
in
the infused stuff like the shandy or
No. I think that's just from the hops they use. I think the citrusy taste you're getting is from the hops.
It
not
balances
from
it out.
I'm okay with that. The thing about Fantasy Factory with theirs, or Fantasy Factory by Carbon 4, is that they don't. I think this is hoppy. I don't taste the citrusy notes.
Yeah, that hits you in the face.
What about the tropical flavors?
Well, that means the citrus.
Yeah!
Volume.
That might be me. I'm sorry. I'm
one more and you
I may have forgotten
shot.
To mute
Yay,
my phone.
Yay, penalty shots!
It's like somebody's riding a tiny bicycle in here.
I may have forgotten to mute my phone.
I mean, okay, so this is, again, like there's so many niche beers out there. But this is one of the better ones, I have to say. Like if you're into like even like a mildly hoppy beer, or again it's interesting. It's definitely not.
It's not overly hoppy.
It's not overly citrusy.
They
play well with each other. Like again, I wouldn't say this is a winter beer in any way, shape, or form.
No, it's not.
I would like to drink this on like a late spring, early summer day.
I would say this is a summer brew. I would drink this all day long in the summer.
On this.
I mean, you can drink beer whenever the hell you want. I mean, it doesn't really
right,
matter.
Right, but with that citrusy taste, with the again, not an overly hoppy flavor. It's a light beer.
It's unique and it's well done.
I bet it's only in the fours or fives on the IPU. On the 5.7. 5.7. Okay.
So it's a little more alcohol. But I was thinking the, you know,
hop scale. I know it is not going to be that high. It's not that
high.
High,
right?
Really?
It's probably in the 35.
I bet you. I know how they created this beer. They were like, oh shit, we got all these leftover like citrus hops. It's the middle of fucking winter. We're not gonna be. They're gonna go bad.
Yeah, exactly.
We're like, oh shit, we're gonna call it Warm Front and brew it in the middle of the winter. It'll be crazy.
Apparently only expect you to buy like a 6-pack occasionally because that's how much.
I would never go out of my way to buy this beer.
And you know, again, if it was summertime, yes, I would actually. In the summer, I would look for this beer. In the winter, no, not so much.
You know what? You can buy it in the summer, but they're just going to knock off the winter.
Yeah, they'll take off the winter seasonal. It'll just be called Warm Front, and they'll make it a summer beer.
It's Heat Streak. I don't know.
It's a
well done beer.
Right, yeah.
And I'm sure, yeah.
From a craft standpoint, I just don't think it's a winter seasonal by any stretch of the imagination.
I like the marketing of the beer.
I think the marketing is wrong. I like the beer.
It's wrong to you, but that's just perception of that.
Exactly. It's a fine beer. All right.
Yeah, sure.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
I'm not a heavy up, but I mean, it's a good beer.
I'm abstaining because I don't like the flavor of it.
Then thumbs down.
You don't think it was good execution?
No, really?
I just don't like that style of beer.
You don't like
any beer that's like that. I don't like it.
Well, you got to then thumbs down.
So you wouldn't know good version of
you
that
can't
kind
just give
of
another game.
So that's why I abstain.
Okay.
It's a hung jury. Deal with it. I just said you guys all have
it's
big
a really hung jury.
Yeah, well, that's there a new go. One for the spreadsheet.
Yeah. On charge, 82 beers.
Yeah, holy crap. I'm amazed. We found 82 unique beers. All right. Order the card.
Only three repeats. On charge, one.
Oops.
Of tasting like ball sweat, I find you guilty. On charge two of being tasty ball sweat, I find you guilty.
Nice.
You shall be drank or drunk or whatever.
I shall be drunk.
It's drunk. Your transference power.
That's right.
All right. For those of you on YouTube and on the regular podcast, you're just joining us because I hit the record button a little bit late. So welcome to Guys, Games, and Beer. No worries.
Beer court's over.
Just in case I can't download the backup off of Facebook.
It was good.
Let's back up.
They might not have that feature. I like the golf clap, though. But that's all right. You can just go right into the gaming portion of the show.
So what is the real topic tonight, Rob?
Well, tonight we're going to be talking about not your parents' basement.
Hi, special guest.
So we're here with us. We have a special guest tonight. And our special guest is?
The owner of Not Your Parents' Basement.
Your name is?
Ian Valentine.
All right. And what is Not Your Parents' Basement?
Well, it's something that we found Racine needs, hasn't had for a while, or has had attempts, but they haven't been able to get off the ground very well. We're a competitive and casual gaming lounge, and it's not just one category. It's not just PCs. It's not Xboxes. It's everything, ranging from retro consoles to the high-end PCs to tabletop board games. If you have a D&D group that's tired of playing in your parents' basement, come down to our place. We've got a space for you.
Okay, so hyperlocal reference. This is opening up in our hometown. Very close to the G2B Towers, actually. Just down the block from where the G2B Towers are.
You can
see
the G2B Towers.
From not your parents.
Yeah, but not from our studio, because we live in the basement.
Because we're also in the basement.
Can we dig a tunnel?
I think we could.
So
we'll start from our
We're going to be a little hyper-local here, and we're going to talk about this place. But we also are going to talk about gaming lounges in general.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to talk a little bit about what it takes to get a gaming lounge going, what it takes to make a successful gaming lounge, because Racine's had a few before yours.
That's why we need the input from you guys.
Exactly. And so feel free to give us feedback as we're doing the show here on what people want to see in a really good gaming lounge. So, that being said, let's talk a little bit more about... So, you've gone over what you're talking about. You want to have everything from retro gaming...
Yep.
So, to modern console gaming, to modern PC gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about... How much space are you starting out with?
Well, the whole floor space is about 4,000 square feet. With all the build-out and everything, like the central office, the bathrooms, we're looking at about having 3,000 square feet of usable space. So that's typically double of what the previous attempts have had. One of the previous attempts was right down the road from us.
That's a lot of space, actually.
Yeah, it's really useful. It's in the basement of our building. We own the whole building, so we're not paying crazy amounts in rent every month, which is a key factor we found with speaking with some of the other gaming lounge owners that we've met with in Facebook groups, is that the main killer is the rent. People pay $3,000, $4,000 for half the space we have. Now, my family is in the real estate business, so we buy buildings, distress buildings, fix them up. So we know the real estate business, and we were able to get this building at a great price. I'm not going to release it. But we're paying $1,000 a month in rent for that space.
For 4,000 square feet?
Yes.
Man,
that's pretty good.
Holy fuck.
Damn. Just to kind of put it in perspective, I asked, we've had a Blockbuster that went out of business on Douglas.
Yep. So Larry had this idea.
I wanted to create a gaming lounge, a gaming store.
I had the same idea.
For that building specifically.
Okay. And an expansion possibility.
I wanted to know if it was a typo, because I guess, well, what's the rent? He told me $12,000 a month.
Yeah,
what
for that space?
It's because it used to be a Blockbuster. That's
no wonder why they all went out of business.
$12,000 a month. It's like,
yeah,
they're looking for that next Blockbuster, that O'Reilly Motors that's going to pay to take over every single Blockbuster space. We were looking at that, where if we go to the former Blockbuster owner, say we want every location your Blockbuster was in, we're going to put this store in there. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, but $12,000 a month. Okay, so again,
we're not that big of a town yet.
Yeah. Right? I thought like $80,000. No, I thought you're paying $1,000 for 4,000 square feet.
Yep.
Those buildings were maybe 1,500 square feet, maybe 2,000, and they're talking $12,000 a month.
Yeah,
there's no way. I mean, your business has got to do a lot of turnover for that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so.
$0.49 a magic card. Oh,
yeah. Before we get too far, what kind of stemmed all of this on? Like, besides, I mean, you know, finding that building is a great thing, but like, what kind of made you decide? You know, hey, this is what we want to do. This is a good time to do it.
Well, I've always had, ever since high school, I had this dream of opening up a gaming lounge since I was a kid. But it mainly evolved from our real estate stuff. We manage apartments, and when I was 18, I moved out. I started managing one of the apartments that my family has. We found 40, 50-year-olds living in a two-bedroom don't want to pay rent to an 18-year-old. They just don't like that. So they feel like, okay, this is weird.
Yeah.
So,
my buddy has a trick. You want a big trick?
No big trick. I'll go again.
Give us a big trick.
A big trick 20.
We haven't done a big trick.
We haven't talked about Vic in a while.
Period.
Yeah,
for those of you who don't know, since
audio only.
Yeah, since
audio only.
So, back in the day, Vic was an unstoppable force of nature. Vic was like the wind. He was like a storm front that came in and just...
A warm
to everyone yeah, born after yes. 1994. Wild card, bitches! That's yes. Yeah, that's Vic.
Yeah, totally, yeah. He's a force of nature.
Awful mention an evilness to it.
Yeah, he was. Yes, he's evil. Yeah,
it's more chaotic than evil.
Yeah, it's more chaotic. Yeah, I mean, it's more Cthulhu.
Not necessarily bad. It's just bad chaotic. Things happen.
Right.
So,
like girls falling off motorcycles, but there's a whole other issue. Continue.
So Vic had this thing that if you want to get an apartment, he'd do this. I swear to God, he would say, "Act like you're my boyfriend." They always rent to gay people. Swear to God, he would so. So he would make you go with them
so
to rent the apartment, act like you were his boyfriend, so they'd rent to him, because apparently gay people keep decent apartments.
Oh, wait a minute.
None of the gay people that I know even keep a decent apartment.
I was just going to say.
They're horrible.
We know. Think about it, guys. We all know.
I don't know if that's true.
It turns out they're just people, and it depends on the person.
Yeah. But he did get his rentals every time. So, yeah. And well, he was horrible.
This was back a few years. Yeah. All right.
I feel like Vic called ahead of time and like confirmed that he could rent the apartment, and then he was just trolling you.
He just wanted to touch my.
He just wanted to kiss you on the mouth.
Yeah. He was just like, I'm just gonna feel up on Rob for a minute.
All right, well that could be too. That's great. That could be too.
Well, you know, fair enough.
So getting back down to it, so you're getting a good deal on your space. That's a good place to start. And again, it's something you wanted to do. Now that brings up the point. So. And a lot of cities experience this. Gaming places come and go in cities. we've seen it in Milwaukee. We've seen it in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Or even here in Racine. I mean,
and we've really seen it here in Racine. So you've seen it too. I mean, you're old enough where you've seen this kind of come and go.
We've been Access Point, rest in peace.
Yeah. Know. Yeah, I'm ancient, okay? So I have seen all these places come and go. So you've seen that side of it as well. So you still wanted to get into this?
Yeah.
All right. And... Go ahead. You want?
I'm gonna say.
You got something to say?
Yeah. At the end of the day, like I think there are people who really want. They do want it. Like I.
Oh God, yes.
It's just really finding your niche. You got to really find.
So here's the thing. You remember Access Point. You remember Access Point because it was something you would do.
Yeah. I mean, that's what
I remember dropping you off at the mall so you could do that.
Yeah. Well,
and you're like, sweet Jesus, I got a Friday night with the kids.
So backing up just a little bit. What's the structure of your gaming style? So a lot of places have. Like a lot of these gaming spaces are attached to a gaming store, or they're, you know, maybe they're part of a bar or something like that. So
where
do
you go in and you rent a PC for X amount of hours?
Right. So Milwaukee, Wisconsin has a lot of really good gaming spaces, but they generally tend to be attached to bars. We've got Binary, we've got 42 Lounge, we've got
also dedicated gaming centers like Tier 1 and stuff.
You got Tier 1, well, right?
Oh yeah,
right. And so that's what. So what kind of style is?
Yeah. What are you thinking?
Ours is more along the lines of like Tier 1.
Okay.
But Tier 1 focuses mainly on the console, the computer, and a little bit of food. But they don't have any like card gaming, tabletop board gaming. We have enough space for, we can have the PCs, the consoles, and we can also have the D&D, the tabletop, the board gaming nights as well. We aren't going to have in-house food. We'll have a few, like, little, like, hot pockets or stuff we can throw in the microwave quick. But we've partnered with Pepe's and
good.
Envy Lounge.
Nice call. Okay. And nice call.
Yes, we've partnered with both of them where we'll give some 16-year-old kid free game time to be our food runner for a night. We'll place an order at Pepe's.
Dude!
They'll go pick up the food and bring it back.
Do they really have 360?
Yeah, wait a minute. Do they have 360? Because I know a 29-year-old who would be a food runner all damn night.
No.
You're
going to get half a sandwich when I get back.
Yeah. So,
we were all teenagers.
Again, hyperlocal places. We've got a couple of really good places downtown. We have Envy, which is a great club. They've got some really high-end, a little more high-end food, high-end drinks. Mm-hmm. And we have Pepe's, which is a really good sports bar / I think it was some arcade stuff.
They got good pinball machines.
Oh, no, they got great pinball machines, okay?
They're secretly,
and their sandwiches.
Their owner's a gamer.
He's a serious-ass gamer. And their sandwiches at Pepe's, the sandwiches at Pepe's are to die for.
It was a great connection for us. So.
Well, that's good. That's
genius.
That's a really good connection.
And it saves us. We don't have to build a $40,000 kitchen.
Now, see, that's...
And you don't have to do dishes.
Exactly.
No. See, now that's a good point. So, kitchen space. So, again, even with 4,000 square feet, and again, 3,000 after you, like you said, bathrooms and offices and so on and so forth, kitchen space takes up a lot of space. So...
And costs a fortune to set.
And it's great where it's downtown businesses are collaborating, because there is a field in downtown or scene of just like, it's a dog-eat-dog world that nobody wants to share with each other.
There's a lot of that downtown.
Yeah, but it's cool.
But that's
that
typical for any business.
You know what? I mean, but the fact is, there is already great food downtown, so...
Yeah. So now, are you going to expand out from that? I mean, so you've got two good connections right now. Are you thinking of adding more as you go down the line?
I've contacted a few of the other places, but... So far, they haven't responded to me yet. I'm not sure if they just didn't see the message or if it's... I mean, we all know
plenty of food down there. You're providing the pickup service, so it's just a matter of, you know...
Yeah, right. What place is going to turn down?
You show up with cash and, you know...
Yeah, that's true. But it's nice, again, it's nice to set up partnerships because that gives you something a little more stable. You can have their menus at your place, either posted on the wall or at the individual tables. You really kind of want that, something you like, again, Pepe's, which has sandwiches, which is perfect for gaming, something we can have a little more established. And you can set pricing.
Us a discount.
Good. Are you getting a little cut off the top, I hope?
Yep.
All right. So.
So how long has, like, the building been in the works?
The building was, back to the history of the building, it was abandoned for about 10 years. It was this big building bought by some lady that didn't even live here. She had it for a couple of years, sold it to somewhere else, another lady who put like $500,000 of infrastructure work in it for like all the electricals, all the wiring, and then ran out of money. So the building sat for 10 years.
Wow.
Wow. We got it under a foreclosure for $165,000.
Okay. I know a downtown property can go for. If you do a little shopping. I'm in real estate too.
I think there's a Zond building that no one seems to be.
Don't talk about that building.
Where's the bulldozer?
But no, actually they did all the infrastructure. They did the infrastructure on that building
10 years ago.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. They did a bitch.
Those things have not been turned on for
switches are going to snap off.
Again, you guys got a great deal. I know which building you have. The thing about, again...
That's fantastic.
Getting a gaming lounge going or getting anything like this going, I know the gaming lounge is only a small part of the building, but you have to have that low cost to start.
Yep.
It's always barrier to entry. So the problem with gaming lounges is... $12,000 a month.
You're spending money on the rigs. You're spending money on the electrical.
Thank you.
Everything
else that comes with it.
So getting back to sort of the structure of the place, is it bring your own gear or is it?
Yeah, we're going all over the place here. There's so many questions.
I'm sorry.
We're all drunk.
You should have a beer.
We all make more sense when you drink.
Are you going to have, like, a checkout? Like, so many cons we go to, they have gaming libraries that you check games out. And...
Right. MilCog makes their money by going out and doing events. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they have a spaces where they go. They go to bars and so on and so forth. But they make their big money by doing events. the D&D lending library, same thing. Yeah, he's got a big library, but he makes his money by going to events. So... Are you guys going to have a library on stats in-house where people can come in and say, hey, I want to play Warhammer 40K, let me borrow the Codex, Adeptus Titanicus. I kind of got to remember the names.
You're really going old here. Let's go very niche tabletop gaming, guys.
Eldar Commander miniature and a...
But
a Ziploc baggie with some instructions and some game pieces.
You know, when you talk about, people aren't going to game down their parents' basement, they want to move the D&D game someplace a little bit more where they can have a place where they can go and...
Yep.
And set up.
We didn't finish this question.
Yeah, but I'm just... He's
Ben's been trying to get it on somebody's D&D game.
So many games have been trying to get on.
We found that a lot of people want to play D&D, but they just can't get together with certain people. So.
Well, and then you have to have the space for it, too. When you set a game up, you want to leave that
inside. God damn it, I'm just
writing for fucking reason. We have an in-house DM who is going to run events for us. Not going to be every day because he works a regular job, but maybe once a week he'll he's in charge of my entire D&D
like having a house DJ.
Pathfinder.
That's exactly what it is.
He's going to help set up events for people if they want to get their own DM to come into the space. He's in charge of that. He'll fill everything out and get them set up. We'll have stuff that people can use like in-house minis, dice, stuff like that, a map.
So you'll have the basics.
Yeah, we'll have the basics and then maybe a few other things, like as we see people, maybe they want to play Warhammer. Maybe they want to play Pathfinder. We got to find the demand first, and then we'll go from there.
But you are thinking maybe you'll build a library of it.
Yeah.
Over time. Okay.
Slowly over time we will.
With the D&D, are you, because you can have it where if you have too many games running, there's just too much nerd noise. Are you going to have it where it's like, okay, this is group A, you guys are going to have from this time to this time. Are you going to schedule it out?
It would most likely be scheduled. The D&D room is a little bit separate from the rest. It's in a bricked-off area. For those who have seen the page, that's the wall we knocked down where the old furnace was.
Yeah, I did.
We ripped that.
Dude, that's a lot of work. Holy crap.
It was.
Holy crap.
The man who did that, it was... That guy's like, you can't even touch him now. He's solid as the furnace was.
He didn't take the furnace. He just consumed it.
Yeah, he must have. Dude,
he became Iron Man.
Yeah, you should have seen this. I've been watching the pictures. So the nice thing about... Okay, so again, also, I normally ask this question later, but I will ask it now. Go ahead and give your Facebook page.
Facebook page at NYPB Lounge.
Now, the reason I say that is because these guys have got great pictures of all the work they're doing on the building as they're doing it. And if you want to see how a gaming lounge goes together for our people who are thinking, maybe I want to do a gaming lounge in the near future, or maybe in my town we could use that, watch what these guys are going through. It's a lot of work. It doesn't just happen overnight. These guys are putting some serious work into the building.
But it's very exciting to watch.
It is great to watch, too, as it comes together. So
that's nice to hear, because sometimes it gets a little boring from our standpoint, because on the day-to-day, it only looks like one step. But then you get people who see it like, oh, that's so crazy. I was here 2 weeks ago. There was nothing. Now, what is this? But
right.
That's where time lapse is. So
a little quick flashback to
watch stuff.
Yeah. Come on. We've done that. You watched our time lapse.
Yeah,
come on.
That's
fucking awesome. Nothing better than time lapse.
Real quick, give a shout out to Cody and Jonathan, who say hi.
Hi, Cody and
Jonathan.
Hi.
Cody is our in-house DM, by the way. He's
hey.
Cool.
He's just talking about him.
He's an organized Pathfinder Society.
So, Cody, your ears were burning. Okay, now that brings the thing. So, if you've got an in-house GM and DM, are you guys going to be doing any LARPing as well?
We thought about it. I wanted to do maybe, like, move all the tables around and have a LARP night every once in a while. That could be tough to do.
Yeah.
We've got a giant parking lot behind our building. Well, maybe we do it there.
No, LARPers go hang on the parking
lot. No.
All right, we've got a LARPing problem. That's all.
Well, now this weekend, the convention we're doing this weekend is a LARP
Central. And we've had nothing but a good time with those LARPers because they like just show up in the background beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah. Well,
there are some deadly LARPers.
Plus, you can pretend to be in Tron, and that's awesome.
We'll have cosplay nights for sure.
Oh,
but
okay. Well, that's interesting.
Like, if we're doing a certain tournament on a certain game, who wants to dress up as a character and help do some crazy stuff for it? So we'll have cosplay nights.
Cosplay
Pop?
No! Everybody loves to dress up.
No, Honey Pop cosplay night.
Honey Pop?
No!
Might end up with zombie cheerleaders.
So
Ben is the first one who's banned from... No.
I got 86 in the joint, ain't even open yet.
For
life. So, your favorite Honey Pop character.
You've got the space, and it seems like you've got a pretty good staff behind you. Like, so when you shoot to open this or whatever, like, what do you plan to kind of get the momentum going on reaching out to people and getting them to game there rather than their normal spaces?
Well, one of the things is we're talking to different communities. I've got a couple other podcast groups I talk to. So one group, they're big in the fighting community. They do all like the Street Fighter, the Smash, stuff like that.
Very tight-knit community.
So, and, like, we all know the fighting community. They all follow each other. Wherever Smash is, they go there. So we're talking to them. We're talking to some FPS guys, some shooters. We want our space to be like their home base. So you're from Racine. You're traveling to Milwaukee, Chicago to these events. Now you have a Racine team that's traveling to these events. You practice at the lounge. You represent your city. That's what we're partnering, well, not really partnering, but working with Tier 1 to do some Racine versus Milwaukee events. So
cool.
You're competing at a local tournament. You lose, you didn't win. But now you can support your local town going against Milwaukee.
That's a nice idea. And to partner with a group like Tier 1, that's a good call as well. And like you said, it gives you a little hometown pride. Mm-hmm. You bring your team up.
Yeah, I think, again, at the end of the day, I mean, there's plenty of places I really enjoyed going to, but it really was that sense of kind of community that brought everybody together. Yeah. And, like, it's nice to have that open space to go to say, hey, like, you know, I feel like playing something. I don't know what I want to play, but I know people are going to be gaming here. And I think that's really cool. And, again, it sounds like you've got the space to host. You know, you can go in and you can say, oh, I want to play a board game. Feel like I'm playing a board game. Go there and play a board game. Got computer games. So I think that space is going to be excellent for it. I'm very excited to see
that. I think it's
basically
a good idea.
Being sort of an ongoing convention, you know, in space.
Okay,
you know?
I hold myself up in a basement for a week at a time. we do a week-long thing called NetFest, which I just recently got done with it.
Just heard about it.
And, again, it's something
now,
that can't be replaced.
I was at
GameWorldCon,
and basically this guy walked up, and he's like, he had Splendor in his hand, and he's like, hey, man, you want to play this? I'm like, because I was just kind of milling about. I'm like, yeah, all right, fine. We grabbed a couple more people, and it turns out it was a really great game, and it was just like
now, is that
fun,
the kind of environment
you know?
That you're trying to set up, where
yes,
people
definitely.
Can literally just drop in randomly, and somebody
and
may say, hey, let's
find a group of people,
get some gaming going. All right, now... Bring up the point, so we've talked about the fact that Racine's had, and again, most towns have had some kind of a gaming center or something set up. On the more serious end, monetizing. So you've talked about the fact you're getting a good deal on your space, but you still have to make money on it.
Yep.
So you don't have food, you don't have booze. What kind of prices are you looking at charging people?
Well, we're definitely going for an hourly and a day pass. We thought about doing monthly stuff, but we didn't want to get swarmed with, like, you got 50 guys that all buy a monthly pass, and then they're the only ones that could be there because
they take the space up.
Yeah, so it's going to be hourly and daily. We're still bouncing around the prices based on our costs.
Right.
But we're looking anywhere from $5 to $7 an hour or $15 to $20 for an all-day pass.
All
and
right.
We're going to be open from about 4 to 2. 4 p.m. to 2 in the morning.
Okay.
We could extend past 2 in the morning if you got a group of guys that are just hanging out there all night. And we got to make it worthwhile for the employee. If he is going to stay there past 2 a.m., we got to ask the customers maybe a couple more bucks, 2-3 more bucks from each person.
Place to drive up and down fast.
He's not wrong.
Jim, watch this.
Watch the show. I'm thinking next year's NetFest is going to be held at night.
Jim, watch the show.
But
you know,
but that's 24/7.
But that's 24/7 for a week.
That's okay. We've got arrangements. We can make arrangements.
So listen, if you've bathrooms got work for
market,
the
week.
Yeah.
The restrooms work just better than anywhere else.
Will work for a week.
The restrooms will.
They were pretty decent this year.
They were good this year.
And considering I had to mop up 3 buckets of water that came from the ceiling.
They ain't water.
Okay, I smelled like shit for a day. Mopping. I played janitor.
That's the reason we are looking for a new place to hold NetFest.
Okay, but I work with what I've got.
But it was the women's bathroom that was a problem this year.
Yeah,
so,
the men's bathroom smelled like
hot.
Flowers.
God, the women's bathroom was stuck in us.
Smells. We got a lot of feedback from the female community. That one of their main concerns is guys smell when they're in a basement.
Yeah.
So we addressed that when we got the heating put in. We have a special, like,
periodically injects
We live in the future.
What?
Derek asked when the honey pop larp is.
Yes!
It can be whenever
Derek
you want, baby.
That's great. I'm Derek.
Oh. What, you're gonna do honey? You gonna do the honey pop lob for us?
Yes.
Oh, never mind.
Honey pop larp.
All right.
Oh yeah.
So
you have your face on there.
So what's your timetable of kind of like what's coming up? Like what do you have to get done at the lounge currently to kind of make it operational?
Yeah, you're doing some big work there. So.
Yeah. Which is another testament to all the real estate guys. We found our niche group of workers that have built the entire building for us. So that's a key thing if you're starting like a new business is knowing the local builders to get you good prices. But we have the fiber optic line still has to be brought in. They brought in the tubing for it, the boxes for it, but they're still going through the big wait time is the paperwork. They have to like get everything cleared by the city and all that. But once that's in, it'll take a day.
Who's bringing your fiber? TDS or Ameritech?
Neither. I'm not sure. It's whatever one is used at the Johnson building.
I don't know who's using it.
That's Root Communications.
Is it Root?
No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, I don't remember that one.
I don't know all the names. So you're right, once in, you're in a full fiber optic line. Yep.
Oh, nice.
Do you have a target launch date?
We hope to be, after we finish building out like the bathrooms, the mechanicals, all that, I want to start hosting like pre-launch events for some private groups to maybe get some testing in. But then
soft opening.
Yes, yeah, soft
Disney opening. Does that.
We're going to have a couple events like that will be on special access basis, but we're looking for late February, early March for a supreme goal, but then maybe March, April for a more realistic.
All right, so looking at the build-out pictures, so you are in a basement. I mean, it's an old-school building basement. So are you going to go ahead and just cover all the existing walls and build new space there?
We're leaving the brick walls. We're leaving the open ceiling.
All right, good. No, that's good. It's going to be a basement.
Maybe with a coat of paint.
No, it looks good.
No. Do not paint the brick.
A coat of lacquer.
Paint
so
brick.
No.
You can look like this.
Yeah.
This is a parent's basement right here. I'm sorry, Rob.
Paneling everywhere.
I am a parent.
You are a parent, Rob. Yeah.
I
There's only one room. I don't see wood paneling in.
Going back to your passes, what do you get for that pass? The you know, for the, either like the hour or the evening.
The day pass would allow you to do anything in the lounge you want.
Yeah.
So you could play on a computer for 4 hours and then go jump into a tabletop game or start a D&D session. Most of the stuff is going to be, the hourly is mainly for like the computer gamers or like the guys who just want to come in and play a quick match or something, like League of Legends, those type of gamers. They're going to get like 1-2 hours and then leave. Like the D&D session guys, we all know those can go 8 hours at a time sometimes.
Yeah, so they're going to want the day pass.
Yeah.
They're going to be asking for the Peppy's run.
We got to do another yell out, sorry.
All right, shout out.
The joint, you know, do lie. You got to do shout. Don't one yell out to Arby's.
Arby's?
Arby's
what the fuck are we yelling out to Arby's for? Look, unless you are bringing me an Arby's
roasty
meat curtains with horsey sauce. Yeah. Gotta be with horsey sauce.
We got another John, too.
Hi, John.
If I missed anybody, I'm so sorry.
All right.
Mel's out there, too, so a big hello.
Mel, we'll see you this weekend.
Hey, Franz. I like your later hosen.
Oh, yeah. So, again, getting this all together, I mean, seems like you have a really good handle on how it's coming together. But what are some of, like, the biggest challenges you have coming up, opening this and kind of making it a regular thing for people?
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest challenges is definitely finding out what people want. So not everybody's vocal about what they want. So that's why we're talking with all these groups. We want your input. It's your lounge. We just provide it. But it's your space. What do you want out of it?
I think I'd probably like to tag that a little, just a little further, what they want and what they're willing to pay for.
Yeah. That's a problem. No, see, that's a better point.
I want chicken tenders.
You know, so, all right, so now you said what you're getting for your money is you're getting time on the PC. So you're going to put in full rigs, correct?
Yeah, full rigs.
So they when they rent that hour or day, they get that access to that rig. How many rigs are you thinking?
28. We have enough space.
Damn.
Wow.
Okay, that's a lot of space. That's not fucking around. That's a lot of rigs. Yeah. All right.
What if
you also talked about retro gaming systems?
Yep.
So
that our retro nights are going to be more. They're not going to be there all the time.
Okay, so you're not going to have that gear set up. All
you
the
should
time.
Make them earlier too, because like the retro gamers.
Somebody to beat down.
Speaking of that, I heard that.
Space. They
don't. But. So you set up a little lounge area with some couches.
Stop trying to pitch here.
I'm pitching. Okay, wait now.
Well, what we kind of planned for the retro nights is maybe once or twice a month we set up a day where it's retro night. We make it 21 plus. We provide beer for those guys.
Now we're all there.
You'll still have to.
We're good with it. It's beer.
It'll be a 21 plus session, and come in. We'll have all the retro consoles brought in from one of our groups that we know.
Tricks night.
Oh yeah, you want a Fat Tricks night? We got this covered.
Let's just go over obscure consoles that only us care about.
Dude, excuse me. Our Fat Tricks episodes are some of our best episodes.
So yeah, because there's only 300 of you to watch them, and they're watching every episode.
You know what? It's about introduction.
I love you guys. The Fat Tricks is very cool, but.
I have people that come over with their kids and stuff like that, and I get the Vetrex all fired up and stuff, and those kids gravitate to it, man. They're playing it. I got to play it for hours. 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds.
Right there. Let's be real here. We're the only people in Racine that care about Vetrex.
We own like 8 Vetrex.
In the back room.
Well, then you might be the guys I go to.
For Vetrex, yes.
In the back room.
No, it's
I
not gonna be
that
checks night. It'll be
like
30.
Retro. Now, let's talk about light game night.
Let's go as niche as possible.
Have you heard of Marshawn?
Yeah, Honey Pop LARP night was it? Yeah.
No, Marshawn.
I believe that Honey Pop LARP night is a hit.
Minesweeper all day.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. All right, but so. Yeah, so basically you have the 28 rigs, you have the gaming area, on a regular basis, and then you're gonna look for a special event type nights where you'll do that kind of
thing. And on top of that, again, you're looking for people's input. If people are interested about checking this out, like, how do you recommend? Do they post on your Facebook? Do they get in contact with you, so sending a message, or like, how do you want people to kind of reach out if they're kind of like interested in maybe doing certain events there?
For event wise, definitely contact us on Facebook. If you're just looking for input on our website, we have a little poll where you can answer a couple questions, like favorite food, favorite things, what should we add to the lounge. That's at notyourparentsbasementgaming.com. But for event coordinators, guys who like to host events and they do it in their spare time, definitely through Facebook, direct message. We try and reply as fast as we can. We got a couple of guys that'll look at the messages every now and then.
So I know you said you didn't want to put any kitchen gear. Snacks? You said
we'll have a vending machine.
Thinking about
vending machines, so, drink machines, stuff.
All right,
like
so
that.
You will have a vending and drink machine. All right, so, and again, take a cut off the top of that, I assume.
Yeah.
All right.
No, we're gonna give it. No.
No. No. No.
No. Actually,
no,
take the loss on it.
The cut. The, no.
We're gonna pay for the food.
The cut
more
on
than what we
the
sell.
Cut on that can be
well
dicey.
And well, because you're so, not.
Wait, no, wait. No, the difference between having a vending soda machine, you don't get much on a vending soda machine. They basically do the cost that it costs you electricity to run that machine.
Unless you buy your own.
For sure. Yeah, unless you buy your own, which is a way to get around that. So you can own your vending machine.
One of the great things we have is there's a local retailer who, he goes in when a big business goes out of business or they sell their company and they want to get rid of the building.
Right.
There's all this stuff in it.
Always.
Nobody wants to go in there and haul all that out. So they pay this guy. He goes in there. He takes his team. They take everything out. They pay him to take it all out, and he gets to keep the stuff.
So you're thinking of having your own vending machine.
Which, by the way, I think that's the newest reality show on...
No. Here's the problem. Again, if you have somebody put vending machines in...
They'll give you the vending machine for free.
Correct. But they're taking almost everything
back
out.
Let's get back to the games.
No. This is... Look. These are for other people who are interested in doing this kind of stuff. It's really not easy to opening up
a
gaming space.
There's a lot of things you have to think about.
There is. And people don't think about it. They think, I'll just open a gaming space. No, you won't. You just won't open a gaming space.
So, you have snacks and stuff like that. What about people bringing their own beer in?
That would have to be on their 21-plus nights. That could be a possibility. We are going to have an ID scanner, so we're going to check.
You do actually. Okay.
Yeah. So right. We are planning for it. But there, it could be like bring your own stuff nights, but it is a risky thing.
And that goes back to even like their own food and drink. Are you going to discourage that or say no, you can't? I mean, I would go with no, you can't.
Yeah,
we
were going to go no, you can't because
that's a good policy. You've got to monetize this, and if you don't,
yeah, otherwise it don't exist.
Thank you. Exactly. You know. People don't realize.
Tom turned into Scrooge.
No, this shit doesn't.
There's an ebb and flow to it. I mean, there's a level which...
People think, I'll just bring my own bag or whatever into this gaming lounge and start drinking it, and thank you, and they are the problem. This is why gaming lounges don't succeed.
But it's not like... I mean, granted, you can send out, as we learned earlier, to
which
places to get a sandwich.
Deals with.
But that place can't send out booze.
Yeah, well...
There are
We have a couple of deals with them where if they take a card from our lounge, go to that place, they get a discount on some drinks. And same with them. They take a guy.
So they can bring back drinks.
No.
They can't
bring
back
drinks.
You can't walk around with beers.
There's local laws, gentlemen.
Those local laws are suspended on First Friday.
No, it's the same. Give me the to-go cup.
It's virtually
a to-go cup.
It's virtually purge day on
this
First Friday.
This is a
body
out of order.
Yeah. Where the fuck is that horse mask so we can beat that dead horse to death?
No, I just,
my kid's car.
I just want to find out. If,
Bobo, I won't even ask.
I don't even know.
If I could show up and sit back with a few drinks and...
Well,
lose eight games.
But again, this goes back down to what they're offering versus, and this is for gaming lounges in general. See, again, yes, we're talking hyperlocal tonight. We are talking to these guys who are starting one in Racine, Wisconsin. Again, it's not your parents' basement. It's
again, we're looking forward to having a new gaming lounge in town. We are all geeks about this stuff. But the thing is that these things come and go all the time. And the problem being is they come and go for this reason, is that people don't realize what it takes to run a business.
Well, like, and they've can explore some of that. Whether or not you could bring in, whether or not people could just bring in alcohol. What would that mean if people just bring in alcohol? Well, we got a card, you know.
Right, that's, you've got to scan it. So
yeah, because you're responsible.
Confirm.
Yeah.
Right. Correct. When you're on their premises, you become responsible. So if they can't make sure that you're 21, the last thing you need is anybody underage drinking on your property, because whether they did it without you knowing about it or not, you're still responsible. So these are all things that a business owner has to consider.
So once this is all open and going, like, what are you looking forward most to about the lounge itself?
Yeah, now that you've gone through all the technical.
Yeah, now that you've gotten the board to death.
I'm sorry, I've downed everybody who wants to
be
in the lounge.
I want to be, like, I'm excited, happy, and, like,
oh, I'm
can't
freaking
wait.
Death, dude.
Yeah, you're boring me with details.
So look, now wait a minute. Besides details, we're already talking about having NetFest there.
What is the skywriting?
I do want to talk to him about maybe a full battle mech.
Okay, we can get to that night? After the show when it doesn't apply to all of our
one
listeners.
Specific night.
So what are you looking forward to about the site?
Probably just bringing a lot of the communities together, because I've met with a lot of people through real estate, being an apartment owner. You meet these people that everyone's got their group, but not everyone knows there's that exact same group down the block that loves the exact same stuff you do. And some people they go home, they play their games, but they're too shy to go and actually talk to people and find more people they want to do it with.
Yeah, it's really...
This will bring a place for them to meet up together.
Yeah, it's really nice to have that hub. Again, at the end of the day, it's like, I'm a member of so many different Facebook groups when it comes to, like, okay, one for retro gaming, or, you know, this, like, Racine Garage Sale, and, like, people who are interested in, like, different things, but, again, there's so much overlap, and they don't even know that each other exists, and then... Again, like, I'm at Apple playing DBZ, and again, he came to NetFest last a couple weeks ago, gamed with us all week, and we met a bunch of new people. It was great, and it's going to be really nice, I think, to have that hub where people can meet up and just say, hey, oh my god, I'm interested in playing some Pathfinder, and you're going to meet some great people. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be very exciting.
And you know something, having an in-house DM, again, half the problem with getting a good game going is finding a good GM or DM to run the game. You know, you can have a group of guys who want to play whatever, without a good GM or DM, you're screwed.
Yeah.
We know, we're lucky. We live in a community where we know some amazing DM and GMs. But even then, their games get full.
Yeah.
Because they can only run one or two games, and they are so good at it that it's like, I'm sorry, dude, my game is full. I cannot take any more players into it. So to have the ability where they can go someplace and say, hey, I'm going to drop in on this game and get a game going. That's
freaking
awesome.
It only makes sense that I assume you have like a board of, you know, to like almost like a sign up board.
Yeah.
Like, well, hey, I've started this group, you know, if anybody's interested, you know, and that's kind of on them, you know. I mean, but you provide the space.
We help organize it for them, but then they kind of have to take it from there.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, if it's out front, you can walk in and go, Oh, okay. Oh, wait, I've totally wanted to do Shadowrun again.
Yeah.
You know. Nobody wants to actually do Shadowrun.
Right. Oh, whoa, excuse you.
Oh. Come on.
It's, I'm going to bust you with my...
I love... Everybody loves the Shadowrun universe, but nobody loves the Shadowrun rules. Let's get real here.
Right.
I legitimately spent an hour talking with somebody who was interested in our podcast, and he was explaining his love-hate relationship with Shadowrun at Gamehole Con. And I learned that nobody really actually loves to play Shadowrun.
It's kind of like the 5,000 six-sided dice you need for the old Star Wars. That's...
All right, so, again, if anybody wants to, like, check out, again, information about the lounge itself, where can they go online?
Either Facebook at NYPB Lounge or our website, NotYourParentsBasementGaming.com.
All right. So, here's the thing, again, we've been a little hyper-local tonight, but this applies everywhere, you know? Again, we're lucky, we live in an area where gaming is really big, and gaming's gotten bigger everywhere, but we've got a lot of cons in this area, we've got a lot of gaming bars and gaming stations in this area.
It's the home cradle of Dungeons & Dragons.
Thank you, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Gary Con. Just saying.
Part of Chicago now.
Gary, no.
Yeah, they've been
Lake Geneva. Yeah, I know. Lake Geneva was part of
Chicago when we were kids. That's where all the people from Chicago went to buy fucking vacation.
Okay, not Sister Scene.
You're right. El Capone has a place there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Exactly. All the Chicago people went to like to do when we were kids. All
right. Let's all get right, more right. hyper-local.
I'm sorry. I got more hyper-local. But the whole thing is when it comes to opening a
game. We're part of the tourist.
Oh my God,
Larry. We are trying to bring people to the area. They might hear this and be like, oh, I want to go there. Racine
is. It okay. is a pretty cool place to go.
Speaking of real cool places to go, what's happening this weekend, guys?
Yeah, we're doing a Midwinter Gaming Convention.
So, something.
Super excited about that.
Which is where? Which is in Milwaukee at the Hilton downtown.
So this has been going on for what, 20 years now?
No, God, no.
No. 15 or 20 years, dude.
I think 15. They
15.
Said okay, 20. But I don't think they've been at that. Yeah, like,
not at the Hilton. Say like 3 or 4 years
at the Hilton, but it's been it's been an ongoing.
Yeah, so it's been growing. It's been growing.
But long story short, it's LARP and board game centric. It's a lot of fun. The great part about it is even if you're mildly interested in LARPing, there's a place you can join. People are very accepting, and again, I know a lot of things with LARPs. A lot of people that go to a LARP, they're very familiar with it. They've been playing it for years. It's hard to kind of join a game that's been so well established. This is a good place to kind of check out. So if you're interested in joining a Changeling game, like, they're going to have a spot for you. If you're interested in joining some post-apocalyptic wasteland LARP where you can pretend to be in, you're like, you're in Fallout, that's a place for you. If you want to pretend, if you want to, you're not, there's not enough spaces, so it's probably sold out already. They have a really, really badass Tron LARP.
Oh my God.
That is in-house made.
It's sold out.
It legitimately, it is a ballroom full of black lights and glow shit.
Oh shit,
so you can take some.
No, but it's sold out. It's sold out already.
It is the best trip.
Well, yeah.
You know, great to watch. That again, there's a lot of really, really cool things to check out there. It's a visually
tabletop game.
I hearkened it a little earlier about the zombie cheerleaders, and that's actually the first place I even saw that kind of thing. I'm like, why are there a bunch of football players and cheerleaders like in zombie outfits? You know, that was a LARP there.
So it is a little LARP centric, but.
It's not jerk LARPers. It's friendly LARPers who want to talk to you about what they're doing. And I think that's a big difference. They're not. Yeah. They are really
friendly. It is
I mean, seriously, they didn't know we were with the podcast. They didn't know anything. You know, you just walk up to them
and
they'll talk
to
you.
The first year we did
the show. Yeah. The first year we did the show, nobody knew we were
going
in
there. I went back and rewatched it.
And they were
go
so
back
friendly.
And rewatch it. Our first was
so
great.
Yeah. We snuck into the president's room.
And our interview with the LARPers is just great.
Yeah. By the way, who were also on this year's Game Hole.
Yeah, they were in the back. We did an interview
with the
Mordocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who never broke character, and it was hilarious.
But again, so this weekend, if you're not doing anything, Milwaukee, Wisconsin,
obviously
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
We'll be doing our panel Saturday from 1 to, or it's actually 2.
About 1:30 to about 3.
Right. Get there early.
Super
we are giving away all sorts of cool prizes at this particular one.
Can I say this?
No.
I'm super excited about this.
So am I. Brian is playing guitar.
I know. Brian from Lords of the Trident is the guest guitarist, and he's going to join me and Denise.
Right, doing our opening.
We're going to do our opening, and then we're going to do another song later in the show. Super excited about it.
Yeah. So, if you're not doing anything this weekend, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the Sheridan downtown.
Hilton.
I'm sorry, Hilton downtown.
Thank you, Ryan.
At least two of us are
wrong.
Okay.
Con. The Hilton.
The check of the show.
Yeah, thank you. Do the show with us. It's going to be amazing.
All right. Again, thank you, Ian, so much.
Do we have any giveaways or anything for that show?
We just talked about it, Larry.
We just talked over, we'll have a free fake Nintendo. Right. There will be games with it, of course. We will be giving away dice towers. We will be giving away all sorts of G2B swag.
Brian's going to punch somebody in the balls.
I'm not going to be there.
That is right.
He's going to ghost punch somebody in the balls.
So, one more time. Ian, you are with?
Not Your Parents' Basement.
And Not Your Parents' Basement is located in?
Racine, Wisconsin.
And you are? What is Not Your Parents'
Sagittarius?
A casual and competitive gaming lounge.
All right, so if you're interested in opening a gaming lounge, listen to what he had to say because he brought up some good points about what it takes. This is something, again, I think more cities could have. if people would think ahead. You just don't do this magically.
It takes a lot of planning, but magically. The payoff, I think, is going to be very worth it. I'm very excited.
Oh, we're all excited because we got somebody who's actually thinking about doing this.
Yes. Yeah, we don't think.
Yeah, we don't.
Obviously. Have you seen us?
This guy, on the other hand, actually thought about what he's doing, and we're looking forward to this.
Now, how many empty beer cans are around?
A lot.
And then there's one small coffee.
Yeah.
Somebody's thinking.
A lot of her drinking.
All right, Rob, take us out.
All right, and also because we're doing Facebook this week, and chances are you are probably local because they tend to go local. Of course, visit.
Yeah.
Visit.
Definitely visit.
Not your parents' basement gaming lounge, which there will be a link on this video. Also, there will be a link, of course, on YouTube, Facebook.
And Twitch.
I just said Facebook. Twitter and
everything our guys else,
and iTunes, and all the other.
We'll send out some smoke.
And that place in Mexico that for some reason plays us on the radio station.
I'm good with that.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Anyway,
we'll cover the opening live.
So come on up from Mexico.
We'll. And come to his place.
Right, in Brazil or wherever else in South America you are that's can hear the radio station.
I don't understand. That one's still freaking me out.
But yeah, I love it, though.
That one guy who could actually understand English.
It's all Spanish except for us, and they like it because they don't speak English.
Thank God. All right, so
thank you for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. Don't forget, you can check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Of course, if you are on the YouTubes, it's www.youtube.com/guysgamesandbeer. There is also iTunes, Guys, Games, and Beer. But don't forget, we are on Twitter.
Guys, Games, and Beer.
They don't like ampersands. But again, this weekend, come and join us
at the Midwinter Gaming Convention.
Holy shit, he did it right!
It's really a good convention.